generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 15, Book 131 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this.
You just don't know what you're missing if you haven't tried the modern Sure Rinso Blue action. Not just one, like those single-action detergents. It's got power cleaning that pulls out stubborn dirt. And it's got a special bluing action, so you get a wash that's spankin' clean and pure white. Try the modern Rinso Blue. Lever Brothers guarantee it'll please you, or your money back.
Today, Claudia dreams of a royal wedding. It's a soft, moonlit summer evening at the Sky Ranch. Dinner is over, and a pleasant silence has fallen on the group at the barbecue. Nicholas Lacey, his wife Claudia, Father Barber, and now Hazel, who returns from the house after answering a call from Seacliff.
Nicky, you had started to say something very interesting when I was called away.
Well, thank you, Hazel. Claudia's falling asleep.
You were talking about the effect of royalty on the women of this household.
That was it. Something about the ephemeral quality of the democratic tradition.
He was joking.
And I was not joking in the slightest, Claudia. I insist that the democratic tradition is not so firmly bred into the distaff side as one might hope.
Yes, yes, Nicholas, I quite agree.
Father Barber and I can illustrate with the teenage behavior this summer. A prince, whether employed or not, and no matter how remote his kingdom in the current of history, the title prince has a galvanizing effect on the girls. And I might say all girls, of all ages.
Shall we take him on now, Claude, or wait till morning?
Let's hear it all.
He is enlarging on his original thesis.
I've been keeping my eyes open, Father Barber. Since David Norridge arrived, I have seen a distinct improvement. Suddenly, adolescents tuck in their shirt tails. Gradually, blue jeans give way to jodhpurs. Oh, poor Jack, the expense must be dreadful. Never have I seen the triplets manifest better manners at the swimming pool, nor display more beautifully modulated voices at dinner. Or more Alphonse and Gaston courtesy at the door.
Nicky, you're making it sound as if they were little hoydens before David came.
Well, they were more natural, my
dear. I'm in favor of anyone who can improve this generation's manners, provided it doesn't become serious.
Oh, yes.
When you present an attractive young man to attractive young women, something serious is always a possibility, Father.
Jack's girls are too young, and Penelope is too absorbed in her new dress shop on Telegraph Hill.
She hasn't been too absorbed in business so far this week.
Yes, yes, this is gossip. I refuse to take part in it. I shall go to bed. Where is Penelope?
David had an appointment in Palo Alto at the university. And Penny went along for the ride.
Something to do with foreign scholarship.
I see. For the ride. Yes. Well, good night.
Father, are you going right to bed?
Not if you can suggest anything that will profitably keep me awake.
What an outrageous insult, Nicky. Nicky was making some very profound observations.
There's nothing I haven't noticed already, myself. Good night.
I'll come with you.
Yes, if you wish, come along.
My phone call was from a real estate man. I'd like to talk to you about it, Father.
I'll be most interested.
Good night.
Yes.
What did Hazel mean about this becoming serious? About David, I mean.
Well, it might, don't you think?
Oh, I doubt it.
Penny's assistant manager at the shop called this afternoon. Said they really needed Penny to make some decisions. But she postponed going back one more day. She has a date to play tennis with David.
Well, perhaps she handled the problems by phone.
She was never content to handle problems by phone before. When you said you'd been keeping your eyes open, that's what I thought you meant. Personally, I've never known Penny to spend so much time so exclusively in one man's company. Never in her life.
Well, have you talked to the young man?
Of course. Haven't you?
No, not at length. He did strike me as less jaded than that type usually is.
What type?
Oh, the sort you see at Cannes and Monte Carlo. The displaced royalty, usually looking a bit worse for wear.
Beth Harley supervised David's education. It was sounder than most. I like him as a person. He's a curious blend of sophistication and naivete.
Good heavens. Does he treat you as a prospective mother-in-law?
Nicky, when any young man as attractive as David begins to treat me as a prospective mother-in-law, I shall go off alone somewhere and have a good cry.
Oh, my dear.
Shall we go in and go to bed? I'm chilly.
All right, well, let me check the fire. You sound like Betty. And tell me, is there the merest hint of friction between Jack and Betty?
Yes, Nicky, the merest hint. He kissed her warmly when he drove back in town, but I don't think she responded. In fact, I know she didn't. I was watching. You missed all that. You were watching David.
Apparently not being too acute there, either.
Let's say you were on the right track with only one eye open.
What's the trouble with Jack and Betty?
Well, I can only tell you how it started. Betty begged Jack to read an article in a woman's magazine called Divorce, the Danger of the Middle Years, and he refused to read it.
Why?
Well, he insists there are too many parlor psychologists trying to solve other people's problems. For instance, he has a lawyer friend who just secured a divorce for an outstanding marriage counselor, Dr. Martha somebody, who spent 8 hours a day for a fee advising other people on how to have a happy marriage. And then put on a hat, went home each night, and fought like a tiger with her husband.
Well, and so to bed, hmm?
And so to bed. Oh, Hazel.
I'll have to use the phone. Father thinks I made a dreadful mistake. I'll tell you about it while I phone Dan.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family. More families, far more families, depend on X-Lax than any other laxative. X-Lax is the preferred laxative for one important reason. X-Lax helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight. You take pleasant-tasting, chocolated X-Lax at bedtime. It won't disturb your sleep. And the next morning, you'll be well on your way toward your normal regularity. No wonder pleasant-tasting, chocolated X-Lax is used by more families than any other laxative. Remember, when you or any member of your family needs a laxative, take X-Lax today. Feel better tomorrow. But long-distance reports that Dan's hotel room doesn't answer. And Hazel turns to Nicky and Claudia.
Well, a real estate man called from Seacliff tonight and offered us... Claudia, you're asleep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you mind very much if I go up?
Good night, Claude.
I'll be right with you.
Good night.
What were you saying, Hazel?
He said he's had a firm cash offer for our house, but it was for less than half what we paid for it.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I turned him down. I didn't even phone Dan. I thought it was so ridiculous.
Oh?
But Father says there's a rule of thumb in the real estate business. Your first firm cash offer is likely to establish the true value.
Uh-huh.
He says big old houses like ours are frightfully hard to sell these days, and we ought to take our loss and make the best of it.
Uh-huh.
You agree?
Good night, David. Oh, I will. 7 sharp. Good night.
Oh, hello there, young lady.
Oh, hello, Father.
Hi, Aunt Hazel. Evening, Tanny.
How's your jacket, Penelope? Turn on. There we are.
Oh, let me get it. I put in a call to Dan. Hello? Oh, hold on, please. I'll take it on another phone upstairs. They're ringing Dan's room. Will you hang up for me here?
Sure.
Hey, what are your plans for tomorrow, my dear?
Well, David has to see somebody in Montgomery Street, so I'm driving in with him. Oh. They say they need me at the shop, so I'll...
Hello, operator? Operator? Here I am.
Oh, she's on. You can hang up.
Tell me, is it true you can be married to a national from another country and still keep your American citizenship if you don't vote abroad in their elections?
That seems rather technical. Who asked you the question?
Well, David is under the impression there was a Supreme Court ruling to that effect, but he isn't sure.
Well, I believe that the Supreme Court ruled that if you vote in a foreign election, you endanger your citizenship. But may I ask why you were discussing this problem?
Don't worry, Father. He hasn't asked me to marry him.
I see. That's good.
But he's going to, I think, perhaps tomorrow.
Oh, and what provokes that idea?
Well, we stopped in a restaurant. He began to look terribly serious and braced himself. But then somebody put a quarter in a jukebox and we were blasted out by Sinatra singing about love and marriage and a horse and carriage. He loathes jukeboxes.
Well, if he should ask you, what would you say, Penelope?
I don't know, Father. Premises. I'd have to think.
More of the Barbers in just a moment. Greg Wheeler felt his blood run cold as he stood on the lake shore and watched the canoe glide slowly by. The beautiful girl seated in the canoe looked neither to right nor left as she passed. Her paddle made no sound as it dipped into the water. And in a moment, she had disappeared into the mist. The girl could only have been Lyanne, whom Greg had loved. But Lyanne had drowned in this same lake 20 years ago. This is Ed Herlihy, your host on My True Story. You'll want to be listening to tomorrow's drama as Greg Wheeler comes face to face with the memory that's been haunting him for 20 years. My True Story, America's number one morning radio program, brings you a complete full-hour drama every weekday on NBC. So enjoy My True Story and My True Story's companion program, Burt Park's Bandstand. Together, they make a wonderfully varied morning's listening every weekday over most of these same NBC stations. Mickey, on his way up to bed, passes Hazel's open bedroom door and sees her sitting, looking disconsolate, with the phone on her knees.
Good night, Hazel.
Night.
Well, you talked him down?
The desk clerk thought he was in, but he seems to have gone out again.
He probably forgot to buy a paper.
That's an idea. Good night, Mickey.
See you in the morning.
Oh, Mickey, coming to bed?
Well, you didn't waste much time.
Oh, I had the most curious dream. We were at a brilliant wedding. And Prince Rainier and Princess Grace were there. And so was David. David was the groom.
Hmm. And who was the bride?
Oh, I'm not sure. I was about to find out when you woke me up. Hurry, turn out the light, Mickey. I want to dream the rest of it.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse, and features J. Anthony Smythe, Bernice Berwin, Paige Gilman, Russell Forson, and Mary Adams. In Chapter 16, Book 131, Almost a Princess. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.